When I was praying this morning in Sunday school, I could hear myself talking through my nose, and so I said, I'm not preaching today. And Luke offered to take over for me, so here you go. No, I'm a firm believer that his strength is made perfect in our weakness, and so God's going to use the words that he's laid on my heart today, regardless of what I sound like. And if I pass out here, that's probably an illustration he wanted to have us have, so just leave me alone. You're dismissed if I fall over. So, now today I want to talk about vision a little bit, and this sermon was actually inspired Monday night during our prayer meeting, because we were talking about kind of the direction that my sermons have been going, and more than one person had a frustration that you haven't really told us what to do though. You've encouraged us. You've been bold and you stepped on our toes, but give us something to do. And I thought for a minute, and then I just said, you know, I don't think that that's my job. I don't think that it's up to me to tell us as a church where we're going. And so this morning I wanted to give a word of encouragement for us to take a step back and to just really take a moment with God. Not a moment on Sunday morning, not a moment for the next week, but a moment over the course of time until we clearly, as a body, feel God's vision. Because I think he knows where he wants us to go, but I think we haven't quite grasped it yet. And about 400 years ago, a shipload of travelers landed on the northeast coast of America. And then the first year, they established a town site. The next year, they elected a government. And the third year, the town government planned to build a new road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. But in the fourth year, the people tried to impeach their own town government because they thought it was a waste of public funds to build a road 5 miles westward into the wilderness. Who needed to go there anyway? Here were people who had the vision to set 3,000 miles across, or to see 3,000 miles across an ocean and overcome great hardships to get there, but in just a few years, were not able to even see 5 miles down the road. With a clear vision of what we can become in Christ, no ocean of difficulty is too great. Without it, we rarely move beyond our own current boundaries. And so the scripture that I wanted to offer this morning comes from Proverbs 29, it's verse 18. And it simply says, where there is no vision, the people are unrestrained, but happy is he who keeps the law. So I just want to talk a little bit about what vision is and why it's not just supposed to come from the pastor or from the superintendent or from ministry and council even, or even from just monthly meeting. It's supposed to come from the body as a whole. So the first thing I want to talk about is vision is the ability to see. Vision is awareness. We're going to have three A words today. The first one's awareness. The dictionary definition is, number one, the faculty of sight. Number two, unusual foresight. Three, a mental image produced by the imagination. And four, the experience of the supernatural as if with the eyes. One of the first sermons that I ever gave came from the book of Numbers. And I called the sermon Graves of Craving. And it comes from the story of the Israelite people when they were following Moses through the wilderness. And after a certain amount of time, they kind of got frustrated. And do you remember what some of those people wanted to do? Anybody remember that? They wanted to go back to Egypt. They wanted to go back and work for Pharaoh because they'd forgotten how bad it was. All they could remember was that they had meat to eat, that they had shelter, that there was a regular schedule. Things were normal. They had a routine. And there were two guys involved in this conversation, and they're only given brief credit. But I want to challenge us to have vision like these two guys. And the two guys were Joshua and Caleb, and you can find their little piece of history there in Numbers 14, verses 6 through 9. I'm just going to summarize it for you. Basically, what they said was, what are you guys thinking? Did you see the land that we just went through a minute ago? That's the land God promised us. He's going to give it to us. Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but eventually that's what we're going to have. Now, would you rather go back to Pharaoh, to all the stuff that he put us through, Or would you rather have faith in God and wait out this promised land that he's going to give us, this land of milk and honey? Are we optimistic or pessimistic in our vision? I read about a schoolboy one time who brought his report card home, and it was just littered with poor grades, D's and F's all the way down the board. And his dad says, "What do you have to say about this?" The little boy thought for a minute, and he looked his dad right in the eye, and he said, "Well, at least you know I wasn't cheating." Having a vision is more than just looking on the bright side, though. It's looking on God's side. Finding the vision that God has for us takes time. You know, I've been challenging and I've been encouraging, and that's only because I've been being challenged and being encouraged. But part of that comes from the time that I take every week to just sit in God's presence and ask him, "What do you want me to say this week? Where do you want me to encourage your people this week?" And what I hope that's happening on your end is throughout the week you're asking, "What do you want me to hear this week?" Or praying for me, "Lord, give Manny the words that you would have him say. Give us the heart to hear." If it's just coming from up here all the time, we're not going to go anywhere. I need you guys. We need to encourage one another to move forward together. So what if the vision that God gives us is not the vision that we have chosen or the vision that we think that this church is supposed to go? Then what happens? Do we throw out the towel? Do we throw in the towel and do we run back to what we used to know, like the Israelite people? I think that's our tendency. Things get a little rough, or pretty soon we don't recognize what's going on because it's not what we've always known, and we have a tendency to want to run back to what's familiar. But God has a promised land for us. God has some really great things in store for not just this church, not just this area, but for his people. I read about it every day in his word. It's littered with his promises for us. That's how I know that God's doing something big. Not just because I feel it, not just because I get a tingly feeling, but because I read it in black and white in the words that he promised us. The second thing is, vision is the faith to believe. Attitude. Vision is attitude. Steve Goodyear says, "Both the hummingbird and the vulture fly over our nation's deserts. The vultures see rotting meat because that is what they look for. They thrive on that diet. But hummingbirds ignore the smelly flesh of dead animals. Instead, they look for colorful blossoms of desert plants. The vultures live on what was. They live on the past. They fill themselves with what is dead and gone. But hummingbirds live on what is. They seek new life. They fill themselves with freshness and life. Each bird finds what it is looking for. We all do." Satan's greatest attack on vision that God gives us is our own attitudes. What are we looking for? When we think about where we want this group of people to be down the road, what is our attitude? What are we looking for? Is it an attitude of selfishness? Are there some here that say, "You know, I really don't want us to look much different than we do now because I kind of like how things are going." Or maybe, "I like how things were 10 years ago. I wish we would go that way." What is our attitude? Are we open to where God wants us to go? I honestly don't know where we're going to be in 10 years. I don't. It's not for me to know. It's for us as a people to hear from God. If that's truly the direction that God wants and he wants us to look a lot like we did 10 years ago, let's do it. But how are we going to know until we take the time to hear from him? Until we truly stop in our tracks and just wait? Isn't that what the Friends is about anyway? Isn't that what our denomination is founded on? The listening to the Spirit? The movement of the inner light of Christ in our lives. The third thing is, vision is the courage to do. And the A word there is action. This is often the most difficult step. Because as long as we just see it, that's between us and God, right? We can see things between us and God. As long as we have the right attitude, that's between us and God. We can feel a certain way about something and still not have to share it. But when it comes to putting it to action, that involves other people. And that's a lot of times where we have the trouble crossing that threshold. What is God calling us as a people to do? I heard a story about a man named Ray Blankenship. He was preparing his breakfast and he looked out the window and saw a small girl being swept along the rain-flooded drainage ditch beside his Andover, Ohio home. Ray knew that the farther downstream the ditch went, it disappeared with a roar underneath the road and emptied into the main culvert. So he dashed out the door and raced along the ditch, trying to get ahead of the foundering child. Then he hurled himself into the deep, churning water. He surfaced and was able to grab the child's arm. They tumbled end over end within about 3 feet of the culvert. Ray's free hand felt something, possibly a rock, protruding from the bank, and he clung to it. But the tremendous force of the water tried to tear him and the child away. And so he thought to himself, if I can just hang on until help comes. But he did better than that. By the time help arrived, he had pulled himself and the girl to safety. Both were treated for shock. On April 12, 1989, Ray Blankenship was awarded the Coast Guard Silver Life-Saving Medal. The award is fitting for this selfless person who was at even greater risk to himself than most people knew, because Ray Blankenship couldn't swim. The courage of vision is to say, Lord, if that is you, let me come to you walking on water. To ask for God to do the impossible in our lives. Not the things that we're comfortable doing, not the things that we're used to doing, but the impossible. The things that in our own right minds we could never see happening. But through God, all things are possible. The courage to say that if God is for us, who can be against us? The courage to say that the trials of this life are not worthy to be compared with the glory of the next life. I truly believe that God has a vision for this church. I don't know what it is. Because it's not just up to me, it's up to us. And so my challenge for you this week is to take time and wait. A couple weeks ago in prayer meeting, the verse that we used came from Psalm 46:10, which says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." The New American Standard version of that says, "To cease striving." And then the Message version says, "Step out of the traffic." I think one of the biggest problems with the church in America today is that we are too busy. Inside and outside. I'm not just talking about the things that we do outside of the walls of our church. I'm talking about the things that we do inside. We do a lot of things for the sake of doing them. We have a lot of action for the sake of acting. And I know this sounds like it goes against that last point of action to do, but sometimes I think the greatest thing that we can do is to stop. Stopping is an action. So I want to encourage us, myself included, to be still and know that He is God. Not just today, not just tomorrow, not just this week, but to continue to make that a practice in your life until it's a natural occurrence to have that ongoing conversation with God. Until you know God like you know your best friend, because that's what He wants. And then I think the vision that God has for us is going to start to become very clear. The things that He wants us to do is going to start to become very clear. It's not going to be easy. One of the hardest things that we can do is to stop. And I prayed that, didn't I, John? 2 Mondays ago in prayer group, I just felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to pray, Lord, I think this is the greatest challenge that faces us, to be still and know that You are God. God does have a plan for us, and it's a great plan. Like I said, I read about it every day. But there's a more specific plan that he has for Bangor Liberty Friends Church in this time, for the people that are surrounding us, for our neighbors, for our friends, for our loved ones. And he wants to share it with us. So I hope in the next few weeks, in the next few months, even over the next couple of years, as you stop, as you wait and listen, that we take those three goals, because those are part of it. That we can share the hope that's developing in us with those other people as priests for the gospel. And that when we come together in unity and fellowship, we can say, let me tell you about what I felt God telling me this week. So that that vision can start to become a vision of unity. Because how am I going to know what God's telling you if you don't tell me? Share that with each other. Get excited about it. And then step three, which really should be step one, we got to pray all the time. We have to pray all the time. One of the sad things about prayer is that we often wait and use that as a last resort. We need to go to prayer first and often. So even though I'm sick, I'm excited. Because I do know that God is going to do something great here. And I'm excited to hear from you what that's going to be. So I want to encourage you today. I want to encourage you because I know that God has gathered a great group of people here. I've had the pleasure of sitting down with almost all of you in an in-depth conversation time and time again. And I know that the reason that God has gathered this group of people with these gifts and these talents and these abilities and these connections with other people in the area is because he is doing something. He's moving. So let's move with him. Amen? Amen. All right, let's pray. Lord, I think this morning I feel called to just offer up a simple prayer and just ask you to remind us to wait. Remind us to listen twice as much as we talk. Remind us that prayer isn't just our words to you, but that it should be our waiting for your words to us. Lord, continue to work in our lives. Continue to break down those barriers that we've put up, most of them without even knowing it. Lord, just work in our lives. Help us to desire you more, to desire to be in your presence, to desire to be obedient to the things that you're calling us to, and to desire to hear from you about the future, not just for Bangor Liberty Friends Church, but for your church. We ask these things in your name, Jesus. Amen.